This thing has given that little old song, Me and My Shadow, new meaning to me. And I have a better understanding of how the astronauts felt when they did those spacewalks and they were tethered. And you can only go so far. But Lord willing, this week, Lord willing, we're going to pray that maybe we can get rid of this thing. Open your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. How many of you are here today? A couple of you still on your way, I guess. I don't know. We're glad you're here. I'm glad you're healthy enough to be here and dedicated enough to be here. Everybody ought to be in church. And by the way, everybody ought to be in Sunday school. And adults. We have an adult class. We'd sure like to have you join us. And it's at 9:45. And we study the Bible. And we'd like to have you as a part of our class. So I just didn't think Sunday school was for me. Yes, it is. And it's a teaching time. It's a little different time. And come on out. We're in John chapter 4. And very familiar story. Jesus sits at the well and he meets a woman. And I titled this a showdown. A showdown at high noon. Let's read this chapter. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That's high noon in Bible talk. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, Give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast, is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mount, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Father, again, we're thankful for this book and how you've put it together and the things you've put in it for us. Once again, here's a passage, here's a place that you've put truth for us, that we might see it, know it, understand it, practice it. Lord, there are things here that we need to learn today. There are things here we need to see spiritually, spiritual truths. And there are things here we need to apply. And Lord, I pray as we look at this passage, you, by your Holy Spirit, would do in the heart of every person here, would do severally as you will, that which needs to be done. If there are folks here without Christ, we pray that today they would see, like this woman, they need to come to him and be saved. For those who are here in Christ, that they would see that they need to be servants of Christ, bring others to Christ. Help me. Lord, you know the need I have right now. I just pray that you bless and supply. In Jesus' name. Amen. High noon. Showdown at high noon. You know, the entire 3.5 year ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that we read about in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, centered on people. And it's centered on Christ's interaction with people. As we read about his ministry, we find that he made no efforts to organize a religious system, nor did he seek to build some sort of religious empire. He traveled constantly and extensively throughout Galilee and Judea, ministering to people. In the text that we've read, we find yet another account of Jesus dealing with an individual. This particular account is a rather unusual one, as it takes place in an unusual place, and it involves his dealing with an unusual individual. The placement of this particular account in the Bible is also very interesting. We're in John chapter 4 now, and if you'll think with me, if you know anything about the Bible, in the previous chapter, John chapter 3, Jesus is found dealing with Nicodemus and his need of salvation. Now, in this very next chapter, he's found confronting a woman of Samaria about the very same need, her need of salvation. And yet, what a contrast we find between the two accounts. One man said this, the contrast could hardly be greater between Nicodemus and the woman at the well. One was a man, the other a woman. One was a Jew, the other a Samaritan. One was a respected ruler, the other a social outcast. The one was seen as a moral man, the other as an immoral woman. The one came to Jesus by night, the other came at midday. The one had no arguments, only a wondering how. The other was full of questions and debate. The one was cautious, the other was bold. The one did not seem to know what he wanted. The other knew only too well. The one fades out of the story unnoticed. The other went back to her crowd and brought them all to Jesus. Two individuals, two accounts. The Lord deals with each one, but what a contrast. This morning we need to recognize that Jesus is concerned about people. His concern is for individuals, and his burden is that every person hear and accept the gospel message. Jesus is still all about seeking to save that which is lost. The account that we read before us reveals Christ Himself dealing with a lost sinner, bringing her to Himself. We want to look at this account this morning. We want to see how Jesus deals with this lost soul. Number one, I want you to notice in our text the concern that Christ displayed here for this woman. It's interesting that the Bible states it this way. He must needs go through Samaria. I put a little caption there. That's a divine detour. A divine detour. Jesus leaves the area of Judea. Now, that's the area down there around Jerusalem and west of Jerusalem and all. He's leaving there, and he's headed up to Galilee. Normally, the Jews wouldn't think about going through Samaria. The journey that Jesus is about to make has been made often by him, and other times he skirted around, like everyone else, Samaria. But this time, he alters his normal route. This time, he's about to go where Jews refuse to go. And he says, the Bible tells us, he must needs go through Samaria. He's going to go through the area of Samaria on his way to Galilee, and he deliberately made up his mind to do this, to make his journey instead of the normal way now through Samaria. Scrupulous Jews would always avoid Samaria. We're told that they would actually cross the Jordan River and make a longer journey rather than go through Samaria and come in contact with the Samaritans. Now, if you don't understand what we're talking about here, when Israel split, in the days of Rehoboam, 10 tribes went to the north, 2 tribes went to the south. The 10 tribes in the north are Israel, the 2 tribes in the south are Judah. Later, the Assyrians carried off the 10 tribes in the north, and they carried them off and made them slaves. But what they did was, the Assyrians brought in other people to replace the Jews they carried off. And so the Jews that were there, left there, had interbred with these, and they were kind of looked at as half-breeds. Plus, they made up their own system of worship. Because they couldn't go to Jerusalem anymore, Judah had Jerusalem, now they made their own place in Samaria, a place of worship and all, and a counterfeit, if you will, religion. And so the true followers of Jehovah God down there in Jerusalem would have nothing to do with these people. They looked at them as dogs. And so when they traveled, they didn't even want to go through the country. But now Jesus says he has to go there. He must needs go through Samaria. Now as we read, we not only find a divine detour, but we find a divine delay. In verse 6 it says, Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well when it was about the 6th hour. It gets around noontime. Jesus, now the Bible tells us, is weary. And he sits down on the well at high noon. Now, the timing is very interesting. Because Jesus is now operating on God's time schedule. His needed rest comes at a time where it's going to keep him exactly where he needs to be. Because there's somebody coming he needs to talk to. Divine appointment. Divine delay. In verse 7, we find the divine appointment. It says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Here's the reason Christ had to go through Samaria. Here's what it was all about. Do you remember in the book of Acts how Philip had to go down to the desert? And he had to go down there because there was one man who needed to hear about Christ. See, God is interested in the individual. Here is Jesus. He has to go through Samaria. Why? There's a Samaritan woman that he already knows before he ever goes is going to be coming to the well who needs to hear about him. Table of God. He's right where God needs him to be because as he sits down, lo and behold, here comes a gal with her water pot looking to draw some water. That's his reason. She's a Samaritan, a follower of that counterfeit religion. She's looked on as a mongrel or a half-breed. She's one that the Jews would have nothing to do with. But remember, she's a soul whom God loves. And though the Jews would have nothing to do with her, though they treated her as an outcast and a half-breed and all you could say, God still loves her. And then we find a divine depiction here. What's the depiction? The picture is a concern of Christ has for every lost sinner in the world. Every soul was important to him. He's seeking to save that which was lost, and every person in the world without Christ fits that criteria. They're lost. There is none that he would chalk off and say, that one's not important. Now I want you to notice big point number two. A confrontation with Christ is revealed. The concern for Christ is displayed here. He's going to deal with one individual. Now we see a confrontation is revealed. The woman comes to the well. And Jesus looks at her and he says, give me to drink. Give me to drink. I can't imagine what went through this woman's mind when she came there and she saw him, a Jew, who was dealing with her and asking her for a drink. I think she was somewhat taken back. I think the story kind of reveals that a little bit. In 9, 10, 11, 12 there, we see a natural inquiry here. She don't understand. He says, give me to drink. Verse 8, his disciples weren't there. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest of me, drink of me? And the woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. What's up with this? Verse 11, the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence then hast thou that living water? And she goes into that. But here's a confrontation. She just don't understand what's going on here. Now, it's a natural inquiry. She couldn't understand why. She's doing the same thing Nicodemus did. She's thinking along natural lines. She's not thinking anything spiritual about this. Hey, I'm going to the well like I do every day to get water. Here's a Jew. She comes upon him. He says, give me water. And she's thinking, what's up with this? This guy wants me to give him water. Nothing spiritual is going through her mind. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus and Jesus said, you must be born again? What was his response? How can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? What's he thinking? Physical. And see, so often we get into the same trap. Spiritual truths are there, but we don't see them because we just want to continue thinking physically. No, we got to get over into the spiritual. She's looking at things from a natural perspective. She responds from a natural frame of thought. Even when Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Now watch what she responds to that. Thou hast nothing to draw with. Jesus is talking about spiritual water. He's talking about spiritual truths. She's thinking physically. She said, how can you get water? You don't have anything to draw with. Watch this. She's talking to the one who filled up the very oceans with water. If Jesus wanted to, he could have had the water come up in that well so high, all he had to do was bend over and drink. She's not thinking along that. She's in the natural realm like the natural man is, like the unsaved person is. And listen, we try to give them spiritual truths, and a lot of times they're lost in it. They can't follow it. They can't go with it. Why? Because they keep thinking naturally. The Then we see a spiritual response here. Verse 10, Jesus tells her about the water he can give. Verse 13, Jesus answered, said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He's sitting on a well. He says, hey, whoever drinks of this water is going to get thirsty again. And don't we know that? Man, we get a drink of water this morning. A little while later, man, I'm ready for another drink of water. But he goes on. But whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This is a spiritual response. We know that the water represents eternal life, and the water requires a one-time drink. Jesus is giving her the truth that I can give you the water to drink of that you only have to ever have to drink of one time. I'm thankful that you only ever get saved one time. And that salvation will satisfy the need in your soul. That salvation will satisfy that longing for that. It will fill that void that every person in the world is born with down in their heart that nothing but Jesus can fill. It'll satisfy. You never have to go back for another drink. Man, I got saved. I got a spiritual birthday coming. Friday. February 22nd, 1974, I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior. You know, I settled it that day. I drank of that water. I have never had to go back and drink of that water again. And it has satisfied me for all these years that I'm in Him and He's in me. And it's been a well of water within me. I don't get thirsty every week for something more, in this matter of salvation. I'm satisfied. You ever try to give somebody water to drink who didn't want any water? Or didn't need any water? They're not going to drink it. Why? Thirst causes us to drink. Once the thirst is satisfied, we're not looking to drink anything else. It's over. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to this woman in a spiritual truth. Hey, if you'll drink of the water I'm going to give you, you'll never thirst again. But of course, she's still in the natural. Look at verse 15. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Look at this. Neither come hither to draw. You know what she's saying? Okay, give me this water. She's thinking spiritual water that I'm satisfied now and I'll never have to come back to the well again and carry this water in a water pot. She still don't get it. Don't be too hard on her. This is the battle that rages when you try to bring somebody to Christ. The battle of the natural against the spiritual. The battle of flesh against spirit. The battle of the enemy against the spirit. But it doesn't end there. Somebody said the seed of the word fell on shallow ground, and at this point, it had not germinated and taken root just yet. But then we see this. The conviction by Christ is exposed there, beginning with verse 16. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Whoa, time out. Whew. We're talking about living water. We're talking about never thirsting again. Now you want me to get my husband? But Jesus is going somewhere. He didn't just say that off the top of his head. God never moves without purpose or plan. She says, hey, let me have that water. Oh, now we're transitioning. Now we're getting into the spiritual. Now I'm going to bring her from the natural to the spiritual. And that's what we have to do. When we're dealing with people about Christ, when we're dealing with people in spiritual things, we have to help them to go from the natural to the spiritual. And that's what he's doing here. Go get your husband. When he says that, What he's doing is revealing her sin. See, we find out as we read on. Go get your husband. Come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Can you imagine how she said that? I don't know how her expression would have been. Would it have been in arrogance? I have no husband. I kind of get the idea it would have been, I have no husband. I don't think she was proud of her situation. And now, see, what Jesus is doing is confronting her with her need for this living water. She says, let me have the water. Well, now, wait a minute. You need to understand why you need this living water. Sin. And, of course, Jesus, being omniscient, knows everything about her. She's going to testify that in a little while. He says, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. Because, what? You've had five husbands. How'd he know that? Same way he knows everything about you. But he went beyond that. He said, and the one you're with now, he's indicating there's an illicit relationship there going on outside of marriage. He says, the one you're with now, in your husband. Now, you know, some people say, well, he shouldn't have been so hard. Maybe she had five husbands that died. If she had five husbands that died, I wouldn't want to be number six. Huh? I mean, this lady had a real string of bad luck. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe it has anything to do with husbands that died. When Jesus confronts her with it, I think he's making clear she had been with five different men who were probably all still alive and been divorced and remarried. And now she's with a guy she's not even married to. The implication is that she's violated God's word on marriage. One man said, remember we said the seed had fallen on soil that wasn't prepared. But one man said this, the only way to prepare the soil of the heart for the seed is to plow it up with conviction. Listen, that's what brings people to Christ, when we can see that soil of the heart plowed up with conviction to bring them to that place where they understand, I'm a sinner. I have a need. He says, that's why Jesus told her to go get her husband. He forced her to admit her sin. That's why Jesus told her to, or he forced her to admit her sin. There can be no conversion without conviction. Did you get that? There can be no conversion without conviction. Jesus didn't tell her, well, here's what you need to do. Repeat this prayer after me. 1, 2, 3. He brought her to where she has to face the fact she is a sinner. There's an old adage, and Pastor Fidenda taught it to us, you've got to get them lost before you can get them saved. If we're going to see people come to Christ and drink of this water Jesus is talking about, they're going to have to understand, I have a thirst. That thirst comes from the sin in my life. I have something that needs to be taken care of. Conviction. And that's where he was bringing her. She's confronted by the Word of God. She's confronting by the perfect one. There is no hiding for her. There's no excusing. There's no explaining. There's no justifying her sin. All that's left for this woman is to acknowledge and repent. And I want you to know there can be no salvation today without conviction and repentance. We have a pendulum swinging, so to speak, in Bible-believing fundamentalism in this matter of winning souls. We have a pendulum swings way over here in people, what we call lordship salvation. who in essence believe you've got to deal with every sin and not just confess but forsake every sin at the instant of salvation for you to be saved. And then we swing it way over here on this side, and there's got to be great repentance over here and all that. And over on this side, there's the people who just say, well, just say this prayer and you'll be saved. I believe the truth is in between those two. You got to repent. You got to recognize, you got to acknowledge your sin before you can get saved. You got to understand there's something for you to get saved from. There's a reason you need a Savior. You're a sinner and you're on your way to hell. And I believe you need to call upon the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10 says you got to believe in your heart. And that belief is to bring the calling upon the name of the Lord. What am I believing? I'm a sinner and I need Him and I'm going to call on Him and He's going to save me. And then notice this, a clarification that Christ offered. Now He expounds a spiritual truth on this woman. Verse 19. The woman said unto her, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Oh, now the light's starting to come on. Oh, this guy's not talking about this water. This guy's a prophet. He's talking about spiritual things. That's what prophets do. She now recognizes this conversation is different than what I thought. And so she says this. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and she's talking about how the Samaritans have set up their own place. Jesus said, hey, there's coming a day when you're not going to worship God in any city. It's going to be spirit, and your worship is true worship is in spirit and truth. Verse 24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Look at verse 25. The woman saith unto Him, I know that the Messiah cometh. Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He has come, He will tell us all things. Oh, she's really coming around to the spiritual now. Whoa. She's coming right where Jesus needs her to be. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. Boy, you can't clarify it any more than that, can you? It's time now for Him just to lay the cookies out on the bottom shelf where this gal can get them. She says, I know there's a Messiah coming. We believe that. Those Jews down in Judah believe that. The Messiah is coming and He's going to be the one. And Jesus says to her, the one you're talking to, that's the Messiah. I am He. Well, what a clarification. The Savior has come. And now I want you to understand this. The same Savior that came to her, the same Messiah she was talking to, is our Savior and our Messiah. Now we see a conversion to Christ evidence. Let me remind you of this. When Jesus dealt with this woman, He took her from a religion to a relationship. She already had religion. She was a Samaritan. They had their place of worship. They had their sacrifices. They had all that they did. But He took her from that, from religion to relationship. And now the conversion is evidenced. Verse 27. And let me throw this at you. This verse 27 is interesting. Upon this came His disciples and marveled. He talked with a woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? It's always interesting in soul winning situations how right at the critical moment, there's an interruption. How many of you have ever been there? You've been soul winning. Right at the critical moment, the baby cries, the dog gets out, the cat climbs on your head, whatever. Hold up your hand if it's ever happened to you. It's happened to me. We know the interesting thing, it happened to Jesus. And it was his own disciples. Right at that critical moment, here they come. But you know, apparently God muffled them because nobody said a word. Nobody raised anything about, why are you talking to me? Amen? By the way, God can do that. But read on. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? In other words, she's saying, he's here. The Messiah, I found him. And I don't think she went into town and said, hey y'all, I was out there by the well. You never guess what happened. I met this guy. He told me everything I ever did. Don't tell anybody. He told me everything I ever did. He's the Messiah. What about that? You think she went into town that way? No! She went into town, she said, hey, listen, I just met a guy out here, the Messiah! He told me everything I did! He's the one! And then you know what she did? She took that bunch out there with her! You gotta meet him! You know, that's what happens when you get a good dose of salvation. You want to tell people. And you want people to meet him too. Whoa, what a conversion. Evidence. Right there. It's also interesting, she left her water pot. She drank of the water. She ain't never going to need to drink anymore, I guess. Now she's, forget the natural, man, I'm in the spiritual. She wasn't concerned about the water pot. She wasn't concerned about natural things now. They've taken the back seat. They're secondary. The water pot's not important, even though that's why I came here. Now it's all about the spiritual. Because there's been a big change in her life. She went and testified to others, and she declared her belief in Christ. By the way, you know, declaring your belief in Christ is a necessity of salvation. Go over to 1 John. Chapter 4. You know, if you're ever not sure about your salvation? Get into 1 John. Man, he just lays evidence after evidence after evidence that will be in our life if we're truly saved in that epistle. Just line yourself up. Say, hey, is this me? But look in chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Not everybody who says they're saved is saved. Not everybody who says they're a Christian is a Christian. Look at the next verse. Hereby, here's how we can know. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Look up here. Can you confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh? That don't just mean that He came, that He is the Messiah, that He is the Savior, that He is God in the flesh. Are you willing to confess that with your mouth and believe it? If not, you cannot be saved. That Jehovah's Witness that knocks on your door cannot be saved. Because they refuse to confess right here. The Mormon refuses to confess right here. Many others refuse to confess this right here. That Jesus is the Messiah. He is the only way. But this woman got a good dose of it. And she was more than willing to confess it. The Bible says, to go back to John, the other John, Gospel John. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then we read down there, he deals with his disciples down there. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans would come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. She went and told him, I found him, I found him, I found him, but that didn't save them. She took them out there to him, but that didn't save them. Their believing him is what saved them. But thank God somebody brought them. And friend, that's most of us right here. We've tasted. There's a time we got to drink of that living water. We know the satisfaction of that thirst in our heart for salvation. Now we need to go bring others to Him. Just like she couldn't save anybody, we can't save anybody. God don't expect us to save anybody, but He expects us to go get them and bring them to Him. Bring them to Him. Hey, He's the one. He's the one. Those people down there where you work, bring them to Him. Hey, you need Jesus. Those people are in your family that are lost. Hey, you need Jesus. Those people you rub elbows with it socially, you need Jesus. Whoever it is, however it is, we need to bring them to Him. Just like this woman did. I love this story. Man, I see so much wonderful truth in there, how he must needs go be through Samaria. Why? There's somebody up there he's going to deal with, just one individual soul. Is that important to him? That he'll alter, he'll change what he normally does. Just because there's one, he'll go after one. And he'll save anybody and everybody. A Samaritan looked at as a half-breed. And just not a very moral woman at all, to say the least. And yet he's interested in her. And he will save her. Doesn't matter who you are or what you are. Oh, so much truth. But now let's apply it. Number one this morning. Have you had a drink of that water? You remember, you only drink one time. You remember when you took that drink? I never forgot. I will never forget. It quenched my thirst. I've never thirsted again. You remember? And if you have, are you busy about bringing others? Huh? God don't expect you to save anybody. He says, bring them to me. I'll do the saving. Tell people I found him. Years ago, you probably remember, some of you folks have been around Christianity for a while. There used to be a bumper sticker that says, I found it. I used to take offense at that. I didn't find it. I found him. Amen? Now, I know they didn't mean any harm. They were saying they found the truth or found the gospel. But why not put it real plain? I don't need an it. Him. I found him. I didn't find religion. I didn't find a better way. I found a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you been trying to bring people? Huh? Listen, this gal, I'm sure she had very little offer. It wasn't about her talents. wasn't about her social standing. It was all about the fact she was willing to go and tell others about Him and bring them and let Him do the saving. Let's stand together. Your heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And I'm thankful for this Bible. I'm thankful. I never much thought about the location of this particular chapter right after John chapter 3, dealing with Nicodemus. The contrast. But I'm thankful today that Jesus is concerned for the souls of people. He's concerned about every individual in the world, and He's concerned about you. Question number one, are you saved? Do you know for sure you're saved? Do you know that when you leave this world, you're going to go to be with Jesus? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that you have a personal relationship with Him? If not, today you can get that settled. You can drink of that water Jesus talked about that will satisfy all of that for you if you'll come. How many in here could raise the hand in testimony? Oh, I drank, preacher. I remember when I took that drink from that well Jesus offers and got saved. And I've never thirsted again either. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? God bless you. Question number two, you've been busy bringing people to Christ. Have you done whatever you can do to bring them to Him? Have you been willing to tell others about what He did in your life? That's what she did. How many would say, I believe I've been faithful in that, preacher? I do. I try to get people to Christ. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? I try to tell others. I try to win people. I put it down. I went home to say, preacher, I haven't been faithful in that like I ought to be. I'm admitting it right now. I'm asking God to help me to get busy bringing others to Him. Here's my hand. God bless you. Song number 489, I surrender all. Listen, God's speaking to your heart about being saved. You need to be saved. I'm going to go right down there and stand there. You just come. As we start to sing, you come. I'll shake your hand. That won't save you, but I'll put you with a man if you're a man, lady if you're a lady. Take you to a quiet place and show you how to be saved. Christian friend of mine, would you come and just ask God to help you to be a faithful witness for Him to bring others. Father, bless the invitation. Thank You for this account of the Samaritan woman and the love of Christ and His concern. Now help folks to make decisions that would please You and glorify You here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You need to come right now. Just slip out of your seat and come. God spoke to your heart. Right now, just slip out of your seat and come.